Dub Nation, you're listening to the Warriors Post Up with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy.
Looney will screen. Wiggins goes to the left wing. Comes back. Settles behind the pick. Takes the three. Got it! It's a one-point game! 101-100 Clippers 15-3 run. And Shea Center is rocking in game number one on the home floor. Golden State tonight losing to the LA Clippers 112-104. Warriors get back at it on Tuesday and Wednesday against the New Orleans Pelicans. They're in town, both 7 o'clock starts. But before we get to scores and all that, let's talk about this one. I'm Tim Roy, along with Tom Tolbert. And Tom, first of all, tip of the hat to the LA Clippers. I thought they played a really smart game, a game they had to play, I think, to beat the Warriors with the Warriors' transition and their pace that they wanted to play at. Warriors never got into their transition game, hardly at all. And, by the end of the game, the Warriors weren't even looking to push the ball after a stop. So give them credit. Warriors helped them along. They had 21 turnovers, and as we talked about in the fourth quarter, I thought six or seven of those were probably ones that could be avoided, throwing when nobody's looking, yep, and things like that. So Warriors were just a little off today, and then, you know, Curry spraining the ankle helps out with that. But you know, the box score is kind of be deceiving because the Clippers turned the ball over in the fourth quarter. The shot attempts came almost dead even. But for most of the night, the Warriors were in a double-digit deficit there.
Early in the fourth quarter, they were minus 16
okay
in shot attempts. And they closed it to 2 because of the Clippers' turnovers. And that's why the Clippers were able to, or the Warriors were able to get back in the game. It's just, it sounds simple, but it's about getting up shots, valuing the basketball. How do you get extra possessions? Turn the team over. Offensive rebounds. Like, you just find ways to get extra shots at it. And I always tell people, if I get 10 more shots than you, I can shoot 30%. And that's a minimum of 6 points that I get that you don't even have a chance to get. Like, I mean, it's super important to get extra shots. So, I mean, the Clippers were dominating that early. And the Warriors just never really got into a flow. Never got into a rhythm. Looney gets the offensive rebound to kind of start their rally there in the fourth quarter. Throws it out to Wiggins. He gets a three, gets a bucket on the steal off a turnover, and then gets another bucket, and then Wiggins hits another three, and like, they got back into it. They got within 1 point. But that was really it. Like, that little stretch right there where the Clippers were kind of discombobulated and they were throwing the ball around, and I thought the Warriors' defensive pressure really caused them fits. Other than that, it was at the Clippers' tempo. The Clippers played the way they wanted to play. Zubats owned the middle tonight. I mean, he had a fantastic game. 23 points, 17 rebounds, and 6 assists. I mean, you don't think of him as an assist guy. He's got 13 assists over the first 3 games, over 4 assists per game. I mean, he's just been fantastic for them. Their length gave the Warriors some problems. Steph only had 11 shots in the game. I think he had 20 against Utah, but only 10 against Portland and 11 against the Clippers tonight. And look, I get it. If you're playing well, you're winning by 30, 35, 40, that's fine. But in a tight game, you'd love to have Steph available. He got hurt late, the ankle, and didn't get a chance to play. But he did play 26 minutes. So 11 shots, especially when you're 6 for 11, 4 for 7 from 3, you'd like to find a way to get him some more shots. But Buddy Hield didn't have it tonight from 3. But really the story to me is just about the Clippers' defense and the Warriors' inability to get really any traction, get themselves in a groove, because the turnovers, like, every time they'd kind of get something going, they'd throw the ball away and they'd stifle it themselves.
You know, they added another rebound for Zubats.
Oh, did they? So 18? Oh, 18. Wow.
Yeah.
My goodness.
And that's the thing to look for, especially with Kawhi out, that they're going to feature Zubats more of the offense, and why not? He can score on guys, and, you know, I've always thought he's one of the underrated, you know, players in this league, and has really worked hard on his game. And so, you know, I think the Warriors, the next time they play the Clippers, they have to be ready for physicality, They have to be ready for the pressure defense. They have to get the ball out and go. And they, I just think maybe a little more patient on the offensive end. So.
Well, whether it's 17 rebounds or 18 rebounds for Zubats, I never had either one of those, so it really doesn't matter. But congrats to him for getting the extra rebound at the end of the game.
I would imagine that for most players, when they play a post guy, especially now, maybe not as much in your day because there are many more post players, right?
Oh, yeah.
But in today's game, for to defend a guy like that, who you don't defend that often,
yep.
You know, he's got great footwork and a nice touch around the basket. He's yep. got to be really hard to defend.
Absolutely. He used to guard perimeter guys, face-up guys, not back-to-the-basket guys. And not only that, he's got a right hand and a left hand. I mean, and the shot's the same. It's a little hook shot right-handed, little hook shot left-handed, like little almost little jump hooks. And then he's got the push shot from the dotted line. And again, when he's making plays, he makes it really, really difficult on you. And he's big. He anchors himself well down low. So if you don't get to him early on shot attempts, he doesn't jump out of the gym, but he gets good position. And he's really hard to get out of there. Almost impossible. So if the ball's going to come to him, he's going to get the rebound, and he's got soft touch. I like him a lot. I really do. I mean, him for Muscala is like ridiculous. It's like one of the all-time underreported steals, just a heist in the NBA, and I'm sure it's done for salary considerations. But now he's really good, and this is a team, like there's a couple teams that I might have to rethink, because I always try to say, okay, what do I think of these teams? Where do I think they would be? And I actually had the Clippers this year not making the playoffs, because the West is so deep, right? There's so many teams in the West that I just thought, well, you know, Kawhi is hurt. You can never really count on him. I'm not sure how available he's going to be. Tell you what, after, it's only three games, so I always try to give it 20 games. Before you make any proclamations on a team one way or the other. So I want to see them get to 20 and see where they're at. But I do like their defense. I do like the length they have. The bench, we'll see. I like the defensive versatility they have off the bench. I really do. But I wonder how much offense they're going to have off the bench. But I might have to rethink that one.
Chris Dunn tonight was plus 20.
Yeah. He was really good.
Best plus minus on the floor.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really, really solid.
From the post-game press conference, Steve Kerr says Steph's ankle sprain is mild or moderate. He will get an MRI tonight. So you'll probably know later tonight what the details of that are.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, who knows if he plays this week. We don't know how he's moving on it tomorrow. A lot of times the ankle will tighten up on you a little bit overnight. You can ice it. You can do all the stim you want to, but once you take it off, that's why when you see guys with ankle injuries sometimes or ankle tweaks, they'll try to stay out and play because they're warm.
Right.
Once you come and sit and cool down, the ankle cools down, starts tightening up on you. So see how it feels tomorrow. I'm sure he'll test it tomorrow. Well, but
if there's one player in the league that knows how to rehab an ankle correctly,
it would be him.
It's Steph Curry.
It would definitely be him.
Back in the day, you know, they had all these slogans for Steph when he was back when he first started and was spraining his ankle a lot, right? And so, you know, he said one of his favorite was, "As the ankle turns," you know.
As the ankle turns. Oh, man.
But, you know, I think, you know, the other part about this year that we all have to remember is that playing in the Western Conference, there are going to be a lot of nights like this.
Yeah.
Where you go up against a good team and they're going to be better that night and you're going to lose. And because of the fact that this, you know, the West is a mosh pit. It's just like bodies moving around and people.
Yep.
Not that I've ever been in one. I've seen film.
Yeah, but, I know, it surprises you.
So, you know, you're going to have to, and I think that's where, over the course of the season, I really like the Warrior depth, because I think that's going to help them. And, if Steph doesn't play Tuesday or doesn't play Tuesday and Wednesday, they have depth. They'll have to change, you know, a lot of things the way they play. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about the Clippers. I thought tonight Andrew Wiggins showed that he's ready for the season. He's ready to have a good year. He told me that the other night in Salt Lake City. And though I did have to tell him, I said, I felt really bad for you in training camp. Who gets sick when you go to Hawaii? You know, he got sick. He couldn't practice, couldn't do anything. But he was really good. I thought Kavon was really good tonight.
Very good.
I mean,
very
10 good. Points, 11 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds. And, you know, I thought he helped him. He gave the Warriors a chance, you know, to win the game.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of good signs. I think we saw in the first couple of games. This is a little bit of a hiccup, but I think in part it was because of the way the Clippers played. And I think that's...
Well, what do we have in the West? We have Utah, Portland, and San Antonio probably at the bottom.
Probably, yeah.
OKC at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else, it's like it's a blender. You don't know who's going to get spit out. I mean, you really don't. I know a lot of people think, what about Denver? Well, Denver's bench is a little bit weak. What about Dallas? I mean, they went to the finals last year. Like, I like Dallas. I like Dallas a lot. We'll see if they can repeat that. We'll see how Clay fits in. So far, so good. Phoenix, are they going to stay healthy? We'll see. If they do, they should be good. Lakers off to a great start. They're 3-0 right now, and they look like they're heading in the right direction. Memphis are getting Ja Morant back this year. No idea. I mean, Brandon Clark's coming back this year. So they could be really, really good. Like, before Ja Morant went out, they were one of the best teams, like a top 2 seed in the Western Conference. Pelicans, I think they should be good. How does DeJounte Murray fit in? I'm not sure.
And he's out for 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, and just because you add somebody doesn't mean he's going to fit in.
Right.
You have no idea
how
he's going to fit in.
They gave up a lot of hustle player guys in that trade to Atlanta.
You're absolutely right.
And
who was the guy? Isn't it Daniels?
Yeah.
I liked
Daniels. Tyson Daniels.
I liked him a lot. Yeah.
Larry Nance Jr.
Yep.
I did a lot of dirty work for
him. Yep, absolutely. Houston. Houston's going to probably be better this year, I think.
They lost Najee Marshall to Dallas.
Yeah, Najee Marshall went to Dallas. I like Najee Marshall a lot. Now, you're right. Thank you, RC. But it's just, you know, everybody's going to have these runs in the West, I think. I really do. I think it's going to be, oh, we're in it. Or we're
Here's the thing. I think when we get to midseason, the team in the West that goes 3-0 in one particular week is going to zoom up the standings, right? And if you drop two or three in a row, you're going to go from 5 to 9, right away.
You know what might be interesting? Trade deadline this year.
Oh,
because there
might
be so many teams kind of jockeying for position and what you do. Or it might not be that interesting at all because everybody's in it, so they don't want to move anything. So it's going to be a fun year. Really, really well. I'm looking forward to this. And again, I'm not going to tell you how to judge your teams and how to look at your NBA season, but I always try to wait 20 games. That's a quarter of the season.
Yeah, that's a good benchmark.
Because you start jumping to conclusions. Oh, this team's incredible. Look at the way they're going. Or, oh, this team's they're awful. They're just... Give them 20 games. You kind of understand after 20 games, a team starts to form a personality. Like, who are they? Are they gritty? Are they defensive? Are they a three-point shooting team? Are they an offensive rebounding team? Do they get out in transition and really try to beat you that way? Do they have incredible depth? Do they have a couple closers on the team that keep it close and give it to those guys and they're good to go? So you really don't understand. Even if the team has some of the same players, every team's just a little bit different because every player is probably a little bit different going forward too. So 20 games and you start saying, okay, this is what I like about this team, this is what I don't like about this team, or this is what may be troublesome with this team. But that's a fun part about the start of the season is you think you know,
but you really don't know.
You never do.
Playoffs.
He's so good.
Wow, we're 3 games in, first home game. We're already getting to that. Whoa. Hello.
Good stuff.
You'll be here on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
Get to see...
RC won't have to give me a call.
Get to see...
But I did appreciate that. RC called me today.
Oh,
he's
did?
Like, he's like...
yeah.
You here? Are you on your way? You here?
He goes, I'm in the garage.
You got to show up on time.
I appreciate that. I didn't like say, oh, of course I'm here. But I know my track record on 5:30 games. So, you know, if it's a 5:30 game, I do not mind the call one way or the other. Although, I will say, if you call me that late, RC, it's already going to be too late if I'm not on time.
Correct.
It's got to be an earlier call. It can't be like 4:32. I hope you're here.
Hey, Tom, Ryan Carl, no, you're just checking in?
No, oh. I'm not, and there's nothing I can do about it. But I was. Of course I was.
That's always the recurring nightmare. You know, you wake up, oh, I'm supposed to be at a game today.
Yep. Yeah. So. Now, that was the NBA travel nightmare. You wake up, go, why is that lamp there? Oh, where is it?
Where am I?
Oh, I'm in Minnesota.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whew. Oh, you're, I'm telling you. People don't understand that. You wake up and you've had first 5 minutes, you go, okay.
Oh, it's scary. It's scary.
All right. This is a hotel. I'm in a hotel. Where am I?
Yeah. No, I didn't think I was in a hotel.
Oh, really?
I used to think I was at home.
Oh, wow.
And I thought somebody was in the house because everything was moved around. I was like, why is somebody in the house?
They came in and changed all the bedroom furniture. They came in and changed all the bedroom furniture.
God, that's a maniac right there. He's moving my furniture.
The first, it's time.
Yeah, it's time. All right, Tommy. All right. Thank you so much.